Grace be unto you and peace from the God who has granted to us more riches than we could ever possibly imagine, riches that he has stored up waiting for us in his heavenly home. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look both ways before you cross the street. Wait 30 minutes after you eat before you go back into the water. That term paper is due on Friday, not the following Monday. The workday begins promptly at 8 a.m. Sure, you can cash in that CD early if you want to. Ever since we are little, we have been taught to factor in the consequences to the decisions that we make. If we turn our homework in late, we shouldn't be surprised if our grade is lowered. If we are consistently late for work, we shouldn't be surprised if we lose our job. Most of us have learned, sometimes from bitter experience, that we do indeed need to factor in the consequences before we make a decision and before we take any action. As I was studying this very familiar portion of Scripture for today, I could not help but see how relevant it is not only to our lives, but to our society today. In my opinion, and it is just my opinion, but in my opinion, there are far too many people today who are simply living their life however they so choose to live it, without considering the consequences of the decisions that they are making. Here in Luke chapter 16, the Lord Christ gives to us an opportunity to examine two very important truths by placing before us a picture that very nicely helps us to understand why it is so important for us to consider the consequences. There are two things that we want to consider today. First of all, let's consider the consequences of how we are living our life. And then, let's consider the consequences of either believing or rejecting what God has revealed to us on the pages of His holy word. Our text for this morning focuses our attention on two men whose lives could not have been more different from each other. The first man is described as a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. It is certainly not difficult for us to picture what this man's life was like. We may even know the names of people who seem to have far more money than they could ever possibly use. They dress in the finest clothes, live in big, beautiful houses, drive fancy automobiles, and do pretty much whatever they want, whenever they want, because they can afford to do so. Sometimes, we might even wish that maybe our life could be a little more like that. But no matter how rich a person might be, my friends, no matter how luxurious their lifestyle might be, they will always have one thing in common with the poorest person on the face of this planet. One day, their life will come to an end. So also with the rich man here in our text. Jesus does not give us any details concerning the rich man's death. He very simply tells us the rich man also died and was buried. We can imagine that the rich man was given a big, elaborate, fine funeral. There were probably people that came from all over to pay their last respects. Famous people, important people, powerful people. And yet, even though they didn't realize it, as they were all gathering together for the rich man's funeral, the rich man was already enduring the consequences of how he had lived his life. Jesus explains, the rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. Regardless of what people might think, regardless of what people might say, regardless of what people might hope for, there is a very real place called hell. Hell is total and complete separation from the triune God and from his amazing grace. It is a place of torment. It is a place of agony. It is a place where even the tiniest drop of water would be a welcome relief. It is a place from which there is no escape ever. Father Abraham told the rich man, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." This rich man is an example of what happens to a person who lives their life focused on the philosophy, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Anyone who spends their life focused on enjoying all of the things that this world has to offer without even considering the consequences of how they are living their life, well, my friends, one day they will regret it. They will regret it forever. Do we need to take this warning to heart? That is a question that we can only answer when we are looking in a mirror. If we look at our own life and see that our life does indeed revolve around our own wants and our own desires, then at the very least, we need to stop and consider the consequences of how we are living our life. Where is our life leading us? If we were to die a very sudden and unexpected death, where would our life leave us then? Those are the types of questions that we do indeed need to address as we are considering the consequences of how we are living our life. Consider now the life of the second person who's mentioned here in our text. Jesus describes his life in this way. At his gate, the rich man's gate, was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Lazarus certainly did not have a life that any one of us would envy. Day after day, Lazarus depended upon the generosity and the pity of others simply so that he could have something to eat. Day after day, the only relief that Lazarus experienced, if indeed you can call it relief, is when the dogs came and licked his sores. When Lazarus died, there was no elaborate funeral. There was no large crowd of people who gathered together to mourn his passing. They probably just picked him up, and carried him out and buried him in the potter's field. And yet, what they did not realize at the time was the consequences of Lazarus's life. The Lord tells us, the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The instant Lazarus's physical body died, his soul was escorted home to enjoy all the rich blessings that are stored up for him in his heavenly Father's kingdom. Do we need to take this example to heart, my friends? Once again, that is a question that we can only answer when we are looking in a mirror. When you look at your own life, do you see one struggle after another? Does it seem as though you just recover from one disaster and there's another disaster to take its place? Do you pretend to be happy when you are around other people, but deep inside you're saying to yourself, "If only they knew"? If so, then remember the example of Lazarus here in our text. If so, then remember the truth that the Apostle Paul proclaims to us in Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. If so, then remember that no matter how difficult your life here on this earth might be, when the good Lord decides that it's time for this life to end, He will most certainly send His holy angels to escort you home to heaven. But what made the difference? Why was the rich man condemned to suffer in the eternal fires of hell, while poor Lazarus was allowed to live in the eternal blessings of heaven? That is something that we are going to have to make sure that we know very well. Does this portion of Scripture teach us that if we have money, if we live in a nice big house, drive a nice car, and have a closet filled with nice clothes, that we had better be worried about our eternity? But if our life here on this earth is a living hell, we can be assured that we will have a good life, or at least a better life after we die. Is that actually how it works, my friends? Not at all. Look at verses 27 through 31 of our text. When the rich man found out that once a person is condemned to hell, they are there for all of eternity, he begged Father Abraham to send Lazarus back and warn his brothers. Why? Because he did not want his own brothers to endure the same suffering that he is enduring. How did Father Abraham respond? He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." The good Lord has given to us the gift of His holy revealed word. What will we hear when we listen to God's word? When we listen to what the God of heaven says to us in His word, we will most certainly be convicted of our own sin. We will be shown beyond a shadow of a doubt that we deserve His punishment, both now and in eternity, just as we regularly confess here in God's house. At the same time, when we listen to what God says to us on the pages of His holy word, we will hear the message of full and free forgiveness through faith in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. It is finished, our Savior assures us. In fact, my friends, you and I have been given even more than what Jesus emphasizes here in our text for today. Not only have we been given the complete revelation of God's holy word, both the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New Testament scriptures, but we have been given the unparalleled privilege of approaching the altar of God to receive His true body and His true blood in His holy supper. When we come to Jesus with a repentant heart, what will we hear Him say to us? His word tells us, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." That is what we hear when we listen to what God reveals to us on the pages of His holy word. So take a moment to consider the consequences of either believing or rejecting what God reveals to us in Scripture. If a person rejects what God reveals to us here and then concentrates their life on enjoying the things of this world, then this is as good as it gets. But then, like the rich man here in our text, one day they too will endure suffering in the eternal fires of hell. On the other hand, when by God's grace and by God's power we believe what God has revealed to us in His word, then no matter how horrible our sins might be, no matter how difficult our life might be, we have God's own personal promise. His personal promise that one day He will send His angels to escort us home to heaven. Far more important been considering the consequences of looking both ways before we cross the street, is considering the consequences of how we are living our life. Far more important than making sure that we get to work on time so that we don't get fired is considering the consequences of either believing or rejecting what God has revealed to us in Scripture. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. May God grant that these are the words that will ring true for each and every one of us. To God be the glory. Amen.